Hello.
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 Here we are in our fifth week in this room.
Yep, it's...
One of us have been voted off by now or something?
Yeah, probably you.
Thanks very much. So the last three songs to cover on the album in this podcast, special week of podcasts or special 2 weeks of podcasts, talking about what's on where. I keep leaning on this piano, by the way. Good thing to do, actually, for this thing. Not as smooth as I'd liked. That's the piano run that introduces... Oh, I can't play it now. That introduces track number 10, I Was the Man for You, which is my acoustic song more than anything. It's got a bit of electric guitar on it, but actually it's quite acoustic guitar-y.
Yes, it is. I was just wondering there. I thought, it's quite electric-y, I thought, but then actually... We turned all the electric down.
We did put the wah-wah guitar on it, which is electric, but sort of adds to the ambiance.
Yes, but there's quite a lot of acoustic guitar.
Yeah. I wanted the acoustic guitars to sound like they do on the live version of Mrs. Vanderbilt by Wings. Not the studio version on Band on the Run, because that's rubbish. But the live version, it's very acoustic guitar-y. It sounds like there's 20 of them playing. And that's what it sounds like now, so I'm really pleased with that, actually. And it's a song about somebody else having to make a choice between me and somebody else and me not being picked, you know. So the words came very quickly, actually, very quickly. And the chorus was in my head for ages, but I had more key changes in the chorus. I wanted it to go into, like, all sort of different realm of key changery, but then I stripped it back a bit. It worked on this one in Austria as well, and I thought, no, do you know what, it should just be simple. It's all right to be simple, and it's all right not to go into augmented sevenths and all that.
Augmented sevenths?
Well, I don't know what it was, but it was yeah, it had like a C to F sharp. I love a bit of C to F sharp. Tritone, is it called?
The old median relationship.
It's the Batman chords.
Was it C to F sharp, did you say?
Yeah.
All right, yeah, that's tritone.
I don't know what a tritone is, but it sounds like it shouldn't work. So any time I can make it work. It turns out Billy Joel was a big fan of it as well.
Well, a tritone substitute is quite a common thing.
What's a tritone substitute?
It's where you substitute one chord for its tritone. So,
what?
For example, if you were in C and you...
Which
you,
I always am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So instead of having a G, you would actually use the tritone and use the C sharp instead.
Oh, really?
And it's a sort of like dominant substitution.
Ah. Yeah. There you go. Music for, not beginners really, tritones and modulations and stuff. Music for what?
Oh, it's very advanced tritone substitutes.
Yeah. You see, this is a problem with not reading music or understanding theory.
Yes, you do.
Well, I only understand theory insofar as, like, I know how many crotchets go in a 4-4. I don't know what a tritone is.
Okay.
I only did grade 5 theory, and I only did that because my mum forced me.
Oh.
And I can read music insofar as if you give me a piece of music, I can eventually tell you what the notes are.
Did you know that grade 5 theory is the only music exam I failed?
Is it? I didn't fail it.
I was only 10 when I took it the first time, though.
Well. Ooh, I was 10! Oh, child prodigy!
No, I certainly wasn't a child prodigy.
Well, you must take grade 5 theory at 10. You can't have been half bad. I'm a genius and I was 15.
And modest, too.
Yeah. Well, you've already done the head inflation. We're stuck in here now. This is why we haven't got out for 5 weeks and my head's so huge that it's blocking the door.
Yeah, and you're in the chair nearest the door.
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, I Was the Man for You, invoked grade 5 theory, no tritones, Mrs. Vanderbilt by Wings, and confusing lyrics. Even you were confused by them.
Yeah, I don't really think you can say exactly what it was about.
But I quite like that I don't have to say anything, because let people decide what they want. Because I liked your interpretation of it. I think we should stick with that. So I don't think we should tell people what it's about. Anyway, it's about that. It's about a choice in which I came off second best. That's really all you need to know about it. And I really like it.
Because, well, should I say the question that I asked you?
No, because that was good, but I don't want to guide people.
Right, okay.
Although any question with the word lesbian in is, you know, fine by me. Well, actually, that's not true.
Yeah, I'm going to think of a question now.
Yeah, go on, you do that while I talk, while we both talk about Desire, track 11, The Big Dog, this one.
The Big
this
Dog.
This is the big dog in it, this track.
It is. My eardrums are still recovering.
You may have seen, and you may not have, the 1968 Elvis comeback special. And it starts with a song. It's big close up on Elvis, and it goes, da 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 da, you looking for trouble, da 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 da, just stare in my face. And he does this whole, you know, I'm a mean rock and roller. And it dawned on me that that riff is very, it's all over the place, isn't it, in blues,
yeah,
and rock.
It's a sort of standard thing, yeah.
I thought, I bet that'd be fun to sing. And it was fun to sing, but it's too low down, because Elvis's voice was, while it was quite high at times, he did the growly thing better than I can do it, so I couldn't. I do growling better when I'm up high, and I couldn't. And so I was sort of like,
is that more like a meow?
Yeah. And
beautiful.
So I thought I should write my own. You know, it doesn't have to make any sense. It doesn't have to be, you know, a comprehensive guide to the study of romance, and just whack some lyrics down. And so I thought, what could I write songs about? What could I write a song like this about? Well, it should be about somebody. And I thought, well, it'd be good to write about like a evil woman, you know, like a witchy woman the Eagles did, or like Devil Woman, or whatever it is by whoever it was, Dylan or Tom Petty or one of them. And I thought, what if this woman was like a metaphor for desire? Like she's so powerful.
She is hot.
She's so hot that she is desire. Not she's like, you know, she's
no simile in here. No,
she's the personification of desire. And so I thought, well, that's a good idea. Let's just knock some lyrics together about how alluring she is and how, you know, badly behaved she is. And I must say, I don't usually, for somebody who's so big-headed, I don't usually say this, but I absolutely love the lyrics to this song. I'm so chuffed with them. Because actually it's quite hard to write lyrics like this, because even though it's just a blues song, each line that leads into the chorus has got to be, it's got to have some kind of impact. It's got to like resolve what's happened earlier in the verse. Now, there is a technical thing to it. You can't just have, you know, you have to finish off with something that rounds it all up together. And I think I did that pretty well. I think.
I agree. It's one of those songs that it's got such a massive sort of impact in the chorus.
Yeah.
The sort of verse is as you've just described, but the chorus is massive.
Yeah.
I remember when you were singing this, I was thinking, crikey, you know, I was worried that the neighbours from the next county were actually were going to come knocking on my door saying, can you keep that racket down, lad?
Shut that lad up. Shut it up.
Because I think the technical term is that you really went for it.
Yeah. Well, you have to, because it's quite high.
Yeah.
The thing is that if you do a song like this, you've got to sound like you feel it. You got to sound like you mean it. And if it's medium range, it's much harder to do, because the lyrics are nonsensical, actually. So you can't put real emotion into them, because they're for singing loud, you know, they're for singing powerfully. And so I thought, right, I'll write it in D, because the highest note then will be an A. A's quite high up, so I thought, yeah, fine. But then I thought, well, how about key changing it for the last verse so you have to sing a top B? And I thought, well, what's the worst that can happen? Worst that can happen is I can't do it, and we'll just change it back down. But then when we were doing the vocal, I only did one take of the vocal. Which,
yeah,
is unusual,
it was,
actually.
It was actually the guide vocal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That we used a lot of.
Yeah. And I thought, right, there's no way to do this other than absolutely pound it out. So that's what I did. And now I think it sounds
great, actually.
It sounds like a first take, but genuine, you know, I'm sure I could have polished it up a little bit, but actually I wanted it to sound a bit raw. A bit like I was, you know, like I'd been singing it all week.
Yeah, this is not a song that's pretty.
No. And
purposefully,
yeah. Because the last song is pretty on purpose, and this one's very, it's supposed to be like the character in the song, you know. It's a bit down and dirty, isn't it?
Yeah. And you asked me to put some trumpet on there.
Yes,
as well,
the trumpet solo, which is absolutely brilliant. And because Paul, in addition to being a world-class producer and decent FIFA player, is also a top trumpeter, aren't you?
Was.
Yeah. Not, well, he's like first trumpet for like big bands and stuff. That's good. Do you know what I mean, mate? That's like first trumpet for the band you're in. That's not just, oh, yeah, well, he plonks about a bit on it, you know.
Well, you know.
Paul has a hard time handling compliments, as do I. And fortunately, we don't compliment each other very often, which is probably for the best, isn't it? But yeah, he's very, very... He's incredibly good on the trumpet. He's definitely better on the trumpet than I am at any instrument, without a doubt. And I told him to play sort of carte blanche, but just a dirty solo. Dirty trumpet solo. Real sort of bluesy. You know that bit in Roger Rabbit when Jessica Rabbit comes out and sings that "You had a lot of money back in 49"? That song. And it's not a dirty song, but she sings it like it's just filth. It's like, play the trumpet like Jessica Rabbit. Again, yeah. Another brilliant way of communicating the sound.
So yeah, I mean, I sort of went off and did that. I sort of, a lot of technical terms, flutter tonguing and growling and using a plunger mute and just really trying to play something that is not pretty at all. Not even, kind of not even particularly accurately, but just really.
I wanted it to sound like it was an episode of CSI and they'd picked it up off the street. Do you know what I mean? Like it had been lying unconscious in a pool of crap for, you know, they just picked it up by its shirt collar and it was too drunk to talk to them. That's what I wanted the solo to sound like. And it does, you know, it is real sort of, and it's like it feels almost like, because it's quite low down, or not like, you know, screechy high up, which originally I wanted him to play all right up at the top of the register.
I mean, it does go quite high at the end.
Yeah, the end it does, yeah. But I thought originally the whole thing would just be a big old screech fest. But actually, with a bit of melody to it, and a bit of feeling, it actually ends up sounding like almost like a lament for these poor victims of this insane woman who's ruined their lives. You know, you can imagine it being the soundtrack, this trumpet solo, to somebody who is being picked up off the street, you know, and held in by their collar because they had it all and she's robbed them of it, you know. And I love that kind of, it sounds like something from a gangster film. I love that.
Yeah, and when I actually recorded it, it sounded fine, but it seemed to somehow miss something. So I put a very sort of particular strange-ish reverb and delay on it as well.
Oh, right, okay.
So it sounds a little bit sort of more drunk than it was, if you see what I mean.
I think the song came together so well because I put an extra guitar on and it twanged a bit and I didn't like that, but then we just fixed that up, didn't we? And it, and the drums as well, I mean, I love the drums on it, you know, really. Mm. Sort of, again, there's a lot of feeling in the song, you know. It's one of those songs that you couldn't do half a job on it, could you? If you have to play every part like you mean it.
Yeah, it's the sort of thing, if you gave 90%, it would just sound so lame.
Yeah, exactly.
And it only works because it was a right old 100% go for everything.
It was. And it's I don't know if it's my favourite or not, because like I was saying on a previous podcast weeks and weeks ago, that you do feel proud of everything you do, I think. But I think this is the only song on the album where you listen to me sing it and think, do you know what? Not everybody could sing that.
Yeah.
Because it is it's quite high up, isn't it?
It is very high.
And, you know, I'm really pleased to have written them all, and I don't want them to show me off any more than they already do, because I'm very proud of what I've done. But this one is a real sort of showy, offy song. It's the sort of song you'd sing to impress somebody, I think. Which is why you've got to give it 100%, otherwise you're going to sound like you can't do it.
It reminds me of the film The Commitments, when one of the characters sees Andrew Strong, the singer, in a pub, and he says, "Oh, that's a right old pair of lungs you've got there, son." Only in a better Irish accent than that.
Hello there, and welcome to my impression of The Commitment. That is a right old pair of lungs you got on you there, sir. It's not really like that, is it? That's a bit more Father Ted.
No, I know your name.
What do we want? Northern Irish accents. When do we want them?
No.
Hello to all our listeners in Northern Ireland. I hope you're all recovering now that there's peace and the balaclava trade has dropped so badly. Other than that, that's all. I don't know anybody in Northern Ireland.
Well, I know someone who is sort of from Northern Ireland, and she sings in a band that I play in.
Oh, yeah.
And she had us all saying this phrase from a TV show. I can't remember what it was, but it says, "I see your John's a game on now." she had us all saying that.
I think it's from. Oh, what's it from? Is it Little Britain or one of them? That's really, really funny. I wonder if Frances is listening, because you don't know her. That's an awful accent. Mel Gibson in Braveheart accent. And she's relevant to the next song, because I did my PGC with her in London. And one week, this time in the PGC over the half term, she lent me her ukulele, which I'd never played before. Well, I did actually. I played it when I was a kid. The first photo of me with a musical instrument in existence is the one my mum's got of me with a little ukulele and the most awful dungarees on, even for like a 3-year-old. I mean, it's just unforgivable. And
yeah, your dungarees are much better now.
Much better now, yeah. Although I was born the week that Come On Eileen was number one, so maybe the dungarees thing is a...
I thought you were going to say you were born with dungarees.
Ta-da! Morning, Mother. I will not wear these. Yeah. And the last song sort of grew from that, not really, but when Frances lent me a ukulele, I taught myself an old Joe Brown song called I'll See You In My Dreams.
Did you say an old Joe Brown song?
No, Joe Brown. Not Joe Brand. Funny though she is, I don't think she's much of a ukulele player. And so I'd had to learn new chords for this, so I knew my way around the ukulele relatively well, for same as I do for the guitar. I couldn't solo on it, but I can play chords, you know. And I recorded 4 or 5, so I learned something on the ukulele by the Beatles, not, you know, the song something, not just something by the Beatles, and All By Myself by Eric Carmen, and
performed by Celine Dion.
Yes, oh God, yeah, and something else, and so. And I thought, oh, I love that sound, you know. But the problem was she had one of these £20 battered old ukulele dodgy things that fell out of tune the second you pressed it. So I'd never really gone back to playing the ukulele. And I bought one for my birthday last year. Or my mum bought me one for my birthday. And it was a good quality one, you know. So I was learning away, playing away. I was just sat in the house one night, nothing to do, and hit upon some chords that I liked. They sounded really nice on ukulele, and thought, oh, I could write. And the song, the whole song, 10 minutes from start to finish. The lyrics, in fact, I'll just ask Paul to independently verify these, are up here, and I think they're almost entirely as they are on the song. I just started writing them down, and it just seemed to flow. The melody was really nice. I was really, because I've never been great at writing melodies, and
hang on, whoa, you said 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Whereas on this sheet you've given me, it starts at 8 o'clock.
You idiot.
It's just after 7 p.m.
You're hilarious. God. I wrote it on a piece of calendar paper, so an appointments page. So yes, it does start at 8 o'clock and it does finish at 7 p.m. I did change some lyrics. 8th of May I wrote this. Look, you can see I time dated it. And yeah, like I say, the melody just came in very, very naturally. I was really pleased with it. And I thought, right, here is a simple but really nice song on the ukulele. And I thought we'd probably have to drop it from the album, because I didn't know if we'd be able to record the ukulele nicely enough. But sure enough.
But we did.
We did. And it's...
However...
Go on.
Really, I mean, you're saying a lot about the ukulele, but the ukulele isn't the most important part of this, is it?
No. No, it's not.
Tell the listeners what the most important part
just
is.
Just to briefly recap the rest of the song, there's ukulele, bit of bass, bit of piano, and bit of strings. And I think the strings are the highlight of the track. But they're not. The highlight of the track, without a doubt, in fact, the highlight of the whole album, I think, is...
Actually, of all albums.
Of all albums, yeah. Because I don't recall Sgt. Pepper having any of this on it.
Well, of course not.
No.
It's not as good as this.
No, it's not. Was my colleague Paul here playing Rhythm Egg. It just lacks that certain punch, doesn't it? All the listeners going, what?
Yeah.
It's an egg with sand in, and you shake it, and it produces that rhythm egg noise. If any of you have ever heard Sweet Emotion by Aerosmith, Start of That has got one.
But it is the finest rhythm egg playing ever.
It's the best rhythm egg playing on the whole album, I would say.
And it's one take.
Yeah.
It's unedited. And it is just sublime.
It is. Do you know what? I mean, I'm sort of laughing away here as if this rhythm egg was completely, inconsequential. And it's not at all. Because I didn't know what to do with percussion. Because I'd done Tori, which was going to be just on its own. And then we stuck loads of drums on that. I'd done You Took My Hand, which was going to be on its own. And then we stuck loads of drums on that. And I thought, well, this doesn't want loads of drums, but I can't leave it blank either. It just is missing something. So actually, it's all very well me saying, oh, the strings are better than the rhythm egg. But actually, that was the perfect balance to add what we needed without adding too much. Because you know it's there without feeling it's dominating you at all. So actually, he's done a great job there. The lad's done well.
I surely should get a credit on that, on the song as principal rhythm egg.
Principal rhythm eggist.
Yeah.
Yeah, you will. I don't know if we can credit individual. I don't know. I think I should get all the credit for the album, really.
It's not going to happen.
I think I should.
I need to have that rhythm egg.
As you have any idea how many instruments I played for this album?
Doesn't matter.
I didn't play the rhythm egg.
The rhythm egg is...
It's the one that makes the song.
It is.
To be honest with you, I would never have usually ended an album with a song like this. I would have thought it was a bit more of a middling of the... But after Desire, which is quite sort of, euphoric and...
Yeah, you need
last
to
night
come
the
down
prompt,
from that a bit.
You need a bit of it. What I'd like is for people to listen to it and just sort of chill out, just like, oh, yeah, man, this has been a nice album and I'm chuffed with that.
While still listening and appreciating the rhythm egg.
Yes. Well, don't listen to the album without appreciating the rhythm egg, obviously. Good. Once you've listened to it a few times, maybe just let it wash over you a little bit, like a cooling wave with a bit of egg. And that's it. That's our album. Crikey. We did an album. That's impressive, isn't it?
It's very impressive.
Out on the 18th of November. And what we're going to ask everybody to do and
is buy it several times.
Is not buy it several times. Is, well, yeah, do that as well. But is to buy it. And if you're a mate of mine and Paul's, then buy it, all right? It's going to be like a fiver. And we worked so hard on it. So just buy it and shut up. And just listen to it and shut up. Just buy it. Don't, none of this, oh, can we not have a free copy because we're mates? No, you can't have a free copy because we're mates. Download it for a fiver, you skint, tight-fisted, ungrateful bunch. And just listen to... Hang on a minute, this is not going very well, is it? So, yeah, if you're our mates, tough, buy it and shut up. But if you like it, on the off chance that after that you like it, please, please ask somebody else to download it. Or two people, but just one person if you think it's good. If you don't, then, all joking aside, then thank you for downloading it, and we appreciate it, and I'm sorry you didn't like it, but thank you, and we appreciate it. But if you do like it, if you think, oh, this is actually a pretty good album, please tell somebody else that they might like it, and ask them to do the same thing. If they don't like it, then send on our apologies from Paul and I, and we won't refund them even slightly, not even a tiny bit, but we will, don't worry, it doesn't run out there, and it's fine.
All right, okay.
We won't even slightly refund them a little bit, but we will appreciate them having downloaded it. But if they like it, please ask them to ask somebody to download it, because otherwise... speaking honestly, we'll never get it out to people. We appreciate that there are people waiting to download the album, and it means a lot to both of us, I think, that people are ready to do that. But, and it's not financial gain, because trust me, if we were doing this for the money, we'd have stopped on the 8th of May when I wrote that song. But it would mean a lot to us to get the word out that we've got an album out. We're very proud of it, I think. And so if you like it, please spread the word. You don't have to do loads and loads of campaigning or anything, but if you could just get one other person to give it a listen, I think that's the only way we're going to get it out to people, I think, isn't it, on a decent scale?
Yeah, and if you can have TV appearances and radio campaigns, that would be great as well.
I mean, I know, for example, that Jonathan Ross is a big fan of these podcasts.
Yes.
If you're listening, Jonathan, just mention it on the show. We'll come on if you want.
Yeah.
Ricky Gervais, big fan. Justin Timberlake, I know, is keen on the album. He's listened to it already.
See, that would have been a much better gag if you'd actually thought of the lead singer bloke of Keane. What's his name?
Oh, Tom Chaplin, is it?
Yeah, you could have said Tom Chaplin is keen on
the... yeah, okay. The former
manager... See, I'm actually the sort of ideas of the humour behind
yeah,
this.
Yeah, which is why I use them so often.
Yeah.
But in fact, the ex-Man United midfielder Roy and the ex-lead striker Robbie, they're both keen. The current Blackburn manager, Steve, he's keen.
Yeah.
But yeah, like we say, you know, I hope you've enjoyed the podcasts. I hope you very much will enjoy the album. We certainly enjoyed making it, and I enjoy listening to it now. And that's about it, really. Isn't it?
That is the thing. Sorry, I'm still full of cold, so I'm just going to go. Dive on. Yeah, I actually do still enjoy listening to it.
Yeah.
And having
that's heard a bigger deal than people think.
Yeah, well, I've
heard we have listened to these songs a lot.
Yeah, and when you're editing and mixing, you hear every little bit so many times.
Yeah.
I mean, you might loop around 10 seconds of the song, you know, over and over and over again. So that you might think, well, I never ever want to listen to that again. But I actually do listen to it. It is a good album. It's a good songs, well recorded, etc.
I'm extremely excited that it's going to be available, because I've never sounded this good. And I mean that in the you know, I've been recording songs and giving them to people to listen to for 10 years, and I've never once thought they're going to really like this, because I've always thought it sounds like I knocked it together in my bedroom, which I always did. So even the best songs that I wrote, I always thought, yeah, but...
They didn't get to the standard that
you wanted. Well, I always felt like I had to apologise for them a little bit. You know, I had to be sort of, oh, this is my song, like, try and imagine it sounding properly. You know, try and imagine it like a proper song. And it's so exciting that I don't have to do that now. There's no apology for any of these songs. They're exactly what I wanted. Exactly what both of us wanted, I think.
Yeah.
And they sound like they should sound. So, you know, this is where we're at. And I hope we do well enough to get a second... We'll do a second album anyway, won't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you don't like it, then bad luck, because there's another one coming. But download it anyway. If you maybe you already listened to it and you know you don't like it, what I would do is download it again. Because actually, if we sold, like, say, 10 or 11 million copies of this, we probably wouldn't have to work again.
Yeah.
And then, so if you don't like the album, maybe the more you download it, the less we'll do in the future. Maybe that's the way to look at it.
And if you're really, really wealthy...
Yeah.
Like, if any of the dragons are listening, they could download it thousands of times.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's only a fiver.
What's a fiver to them?
Well, do you know what? I mean, I heard that Simon Cowell makes more than £1 a second. Right. Which means that every 5 seconds he could buy our album.
Wow.
Even if he just did that for a day, that's great for us. Good for him, for some reason. I don't know why. And, you know, so Simon, you know, sort that out. But, yeah, in all seriousness, we've had about 1,000 downloads of the podcast every month since I started doing it, which is tremendous, really. I was expecting, like, 50. So that's quite a lot.
1,000.
50,000, yeah. So we hope you've enjoyed it. Hope you're excited about the album coming out. It's very... By the time you'll be listening to this, it'll be very soon, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Because this is, like, 5 weeks into the future now. So, yeah, we're very excited, and we'll be waiting for your feedback, I guess. We're looking forward to it. Oh yeah, if you buy it on iTunes, please review it. And like I say, if you don't like it, don't give it 5 stars. But if you do like it, please do give it 5 stars. Again, it helps us out so much, and would be very much appreciated. So, this has been good fun talking to you.
It has.
Yeah.
And you.
Yeah, too right. And recording and everything. So we will sign off for now, and wish you all the very best, and speak to you for the second album, probably.
In weeks.
In weeks and weeks. Surely. And weeks, yeah. So, bye.
Bye.